All right. Well, hopefully next week we're going to have some live streaming over in the other building. And so you folks over there, you'll be able to watch my beautiful face as I preach and all that kind of stuff, okay? But anyway, I heard you laughing over there just now. I think I could hear that. Anyway. All right. We're going to turn to the book of Lamentations today. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 24. Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man that hath been, that has seen affliction by the end, by the rod of his wrath. And excuse me just a minute, I have to switch my glasses because I can't see what I'm doing. Forgot to do that this morning. But you all heard that over there, too. All right. Okay, let's start over again. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent my bow and set me as a mark for an arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgat prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the great hope that we have in you. Lord, we know that no matter what comes, we know that you are in control of it all. You are the God of the universe. You can make things happen or make things not happen. And Lord, we are thankful that we can totally trust in you and put our hope in you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless the message today. We pray that you would bring hope to our hearts, those who are maybe fearful, those who may be just wondering where this whole thing is going to go. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to have hope in you and trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for it. Fill me now with your spirit and control everything I say. Help me be a blessing to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we know that the big talk today, in fact, you can't look at the news without seeing something about the coronavirus. It's all over. It's the big thing, we know that. You knew I was going to say something about that, didn't you? Of course. Well, I'm going to deviate from the normal series of messages that I've been on because I feel like this is needed. I feel like some people are maybe struggling a bit. We have some of our congregation who are out. They're afraid. Some are sick. Some of them are just weakened, have ongoing weakened chronic issues that makes them high risk. I understand that. And for those of you who are not able to be here and are hearing this at another time on the internet, I want to encourage you as well today, because we are in need, certainly, of encouragement and of hope. So for some, it's all about fear. People are running terribly afraid today. For some, it's fear of a financial collapse. They're more concerned about the financial issue than the health issue even. And certain, that's a big issue. America is facing serious financial trials in the months ahead. There's no question about that. So some are fearful over that. But I think probably the biggest fear of all is the fear of the unknown. Just not knowing for sure where this whole thing is going to go. Or not knowing for sure even what the truth is about the whole thing. Are we being fed a lot of propaganda? Are we being fed with the news media, a lot of hysteria? What is going on here? And there's so much unknown. They don't have enough test kits to find out really what's going on. They don't know where this thing's going to go. They don't know how bad it's going to be. Some people are predicting, some doctors are predicting that millions of people are going to die. And others are saying this is nothing more than just the flu bug, just a simple flu bug. And so there's a lot of unknown about this whole thing. And certainly the Bible tells us, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow. So the result of all this, unknown and fear and so forth, is frequently a loss of hope. And I want to speak on that subject today because I think we need to talk about hope. Hope is very, very important. When there's no hope, it can be very, very devastating to individuals, to people, to nations, even to the world. Jeremiah was in a very hopeless situation. There's no question about it. As we read in our text, we saw most of what we read today was really the terrible conditions that were going on at the time that he lived. You see, Babylon had attacked Jerusalem, had besieged it, overrun it, carried away many captives, slain thousands and thousands of Jewish people. And things were very, very bleak. Starvation was setting in. There was horrible things going on. As you read through the book of Lamentations, even we see that some of the people were reverting to cannibalism, if you can imagine how bad it really was. So certainly, Jeremiah's response here with what he's saying was not without warrant. It was terrible, terrible conditions that were going on in the city of Jerusalem at that time. So it tells us in verse 18 of our text, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." Even Jeremiah, as much as his faith and trust was in the Lord, he still was struggling with hope. He says, my hope is perished from the Lord. We also see that in the life of Job. Job is sat in the ash heap. And his wife had forsaken him. The loyalty of his wife was gone. His children had been killed. All of his wealth was gone. He had nothing. Nothing at all. It seemed like a very hopeless situation for Job. He says in Job 6:11-12, what is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones? Or is my flesh of brass? Man, I can't handle this. I'm not made strong enough for all this. And then in chapter 17, verse 15, he says, and where is now my hope? For as my hope, who shall see it? His hope was gone. He was despairing of all help, all hope. Sometimes parents are struggling with hope. Kids maybe are out of control. Maybe it's adult children who are not serving the Lord, not doing what they ought to be doing, and they're just, parents are brokenhearted, struggling with not having any hope. Some folks are struggling because they have failed marriages, and there just doesn't seem to be any hope, or divorce, or whatever happens in troubled marriages. Some are struggling because they're getting old. Some people have had their 76th birthday today, for example. By the way, I want to just say something about, man, I feel better today than I felt in years. I really do. I've got cancer, but so what? I feel good. God has been so good to me. But but some are getting old. Some are in pain today. And when pain gets severe enough, maybe it's migraine headache, I don't know what it is, whatever the pain is, back problems, whatever it is, and it just won't go away, and it's maybe continual, and it can cause a person to lose hope. Some people are disabled or not able to do what they were used to be able to do, and they're beginning to lose hope. Some folks are abandoned. And they're lonely. And they're just, it seems like nobody cares. I want to tell you something. There is somebody that cares. His name is Jesus. Amen? His name is Jesus. But that's why, because a lot of folks are lonely right now, that's one reason we need to stay connected as a church during these troubled times. I'd encourage everybody to, you know, make use of the media during the week, the phones and email, whatever, and stay connected with each other. And some folks are lonely. Some folks are addicted to drugs or alcohol, and there didn't seem to be any way out of it. And it seems like a hopeless situation for them. And you know, people who walk up on the bridge, look over the edge of the bridge and consider ending their life. You know what their problem is? They've lost hope. They've lost hope. George Bernard Shaw, a most renowned liberal atheist philosopher, in his last writings, we read this. The science to which I pin my faith is bankrupt. Its councils, which should have established the millennium, led instead directly to the suicide of Europe. I believed them once. In their name, I helped to destroy the faith of millions of worshipers in temples, in the temples of a thousand creeds. And now they look at me and witness the great tragedy of an atheist who has lost his faith. A man without hope. And we face a crisis today, there's no question about it. But it's of utmost importance for us as Christians that we don't lose hope. We don't lose hope. Let me give you the definition of hope. The Bible actually tells us, I think, what it means. It's a lot different than what the world means. Hope is kind of like the other side of the coin of faith. The two are knit together. They're inseparable. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So we're saved through faith. And not that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" So we see that faith and hope are very closely knit together. And so you can't really have true faith without hope. You can't really have true hope without faith. And then it says in verse 25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And so that's the definition of hope. Hoping for something that we do not see. Now, Bible hope is a lot different than the hope that we call, or that the world commonly uses that word for. It's not a longing for something that may or may not happen. For example, we say, "I hope it doesn't rain today." And it may rain or it may not rain, right? Especially as we know that in the Northwest in the springtime. But it's something that's certainly uncertain. And yet we use that word that way. Well, that's not what the Bible word hope means. Here's what it means. It means an expectation, patiently waiting with complete trust, and to anticipate with confidence. This is what the word means. So, we also find that hope is not the riding of the high waves of success and prosperity and health and expecting it to continue. That's not what hope means. But it's found in the defeated, the disappointed, the despairing, the desolate, and the downcast. That's where we'll find hope. Let me explain it this way. G.K. Chesterton, he explains it this way. He says, hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is of no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. I think that's a good definition. And so that was certainly the situation in Jeremiah's time. Things were certainly hopeless. And for some people today, it does seem hopeless in what we're going through. You know, I was just looking up past plagues and epidemics and things. And the Black Plague hit in the 1300s. Somebody said it was just Asia and Europe. It wasn't the whole world, most of the world. But somebody said that they predicted that perhaps as many as 60% of the population of Asia and Europe died from the Black Plague. That was the worst plague this world probably has ever seen. So, anyway, that's you know, we're facing a not nothing like that, but we are facing a situation that could result in hopelessness. So I want to talk to you today about several things about hope. First of all, what is our focus of hope? Now, you don't just hope in any old thing. You know, we're not talking about just as long as you just have hope. It doesn't matter. No, you got to have hope in something, right? A lot of people have false hopes in things that will never happen. For example, there was a family that actually they were living with us for a little while, many years ago, and the wife always had this sense that she was always kind of prodding her husband to make her promises about things. And he was good about making promises. I'll tell you, he can make promises left and right. Never kept them. But he could make promises. And every time he would make a promise and then something would happen and he didn't keep the promise, his wife, she'd lose hope. And she was down and she was just sad all the time because this was just an ongoing thing with them. And it was really hard on our marriage, obviously. And so, the Bible tells us that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And so, well, obviously she was putting hope in the wrong thing. She was putting hope in her husband and her husband's promises. Some people put hope in stone idols, or maybe today in America it's gold or paper idols, you know, paper money. Some people put their hope in America. Be careful about that. Or in politicians. Or in political parties. Be careful about that. Some people put their hope in being healthy. They're healthy. There's nothing wrong with me. Healthy and strong and I'm young. And man, I can handle this virus just fine. No problem. They're just saying that the only old people and people with compromised immune systems and so forth are the ones that are dying. So I'm young and strong, I'll be fine. So they're putting their hope in their hope in their strength and their health and their youth. Maybe they're putting their hope in doctors or medicine or herbs or supplements. Maybe they're putting their hope in their family. And their families, you know, they've got a good family. And they, you know, but sometimes families fall apart. Don't put your hope in family. You say, well, man, I'm raising a godly family and everything's going to be just fine. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Don't put your hope in your family. Some put their hope in a church. Or a pastor. You know? Don't put your hope in a church. As much and as important as church is, and I say amen to everything Brother Jared said today. But don't put your hope there. Don't put your hope in a pastor. Don't put your hope in me. Pastors let us down sometimes. Did you know that? I've had pastors that let me down before. Pastors that fell to immorality, other things. Pastors that I honored and I respected and I followed and everything else. And whew, that was quite a blow. Why? Because I was kind of putting a little too much hope in a pastor. Be careful. Sometimes pastors will let you down. Some people are putting their hope in regard to this flu thing. that it will soon pass and be all over with and everything will be fine. Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Be careful where you're putting your hope. People have a tendency to put hope in all kinds of false things. Where should our hope be? Our hope should only be in one place, and that's in God. In God alone. He's the only one that will not let us down. Do you know that? When everybody else may let us down, our health may let us down, our finances may let us down, America may let us down, politicians may let us down, put your faith in God. It's the only place you're going to find true hope. Romans 15:13 says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 42:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? The psalmist says, he's talking to himself now, see, talking to his soul. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You want to talk to yourself? That's a good thing to say to yourself. Hope in God. Brother Alex, when you get a little discouraged, a little bit down, you're talking to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? Yeah. Yeah, I do too sometimes. But way too often probably. And that's a good thing to say to yourself. Self, hope in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Then we should hope in God's word. That's what we find all about God, of course. Hope in God's word. Psalm 119:81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Psalm 119:114 says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Sometimes we just need a hiding place, don't we? Sometimes the stress of life just kind of bears in on us and it seems like we have no place to go. Well, we've got a hiding place. And that hiding place is in the Lord. So he says, hide in me. That's our hiding place. And then in Psalm 130, verse 5, he says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. Some people hope in their feelings, and they feel good today, or they feel saved today, and they feel like they're not saved tomorrow, and they are just ripped apart with doubts about their salvation, and they just can't get over that. Well, you need to quit setting your hope on how you feel. You need to set your hope on the Word of God. God says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And if you've truly called upon him and with sincerity in your heart, repented of your sins, and trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says you are saved. It's good enough, isn't it? Amen. You don't need to add anything to that. Jesus did it all. He did all the work on the cross. He finished the work on the cross. It's all done. We don't need to do anything else. We just trust him. Thank God for that. So then also, we need to make sure our focus of hope is right. But then we need to hope in God's mercy. In our text verses, it says in verse 21 and 22, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." And so Jeremiah saw that. As bad as the conditions were, he's saying, because the Lord is merciful, we're not consumed, even in this terrible, terrible situation. Some folks will say, "I'm too great a sinner. I've done horrible, terrible things. You don't know how bad of stuff I've done." Well, God is a merciful God. In fact, Jesus came to save sinners, didn't he? Apostle Paul said, "I'm the chief of them." If the Lord would save the Apostle Paul, a persecutor of Christians, wicked, evil man who threw Christians in prison and had many of them killed, and yet God saved him. It's because of his mercy. And certainly his mercy would extend to all those sinners that need to be saved. So, it says in Psalm 33, verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy." Psalm 147, verse 11, "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." The prophet Isaiah saw that he was a wicked man. Though he said, "Well, he's a prophet of God. How could he feel that way?" And yet he says in Isaiah 6, verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." And the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, yet in Romans 7, 24, says, "O wretched man that I am." Jesus told the parable about the publican and the Pharisee coming to the temple to pray. And, of course, you know the story about the publican, how he bragged about himself and his prayer and everything. And the publican just simply, he smote his breast. And he said, "Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner." John Newton, the old slave trader back in the 1700s, I guess it is, he finally got saved out of his slave trading, wicked life. And he became a preacher, served God for many years, and then in his late in his, when he was a very, very old man, he'd lost most of his eyesight, he'd lost his, you know, a lot of his memory, couldn't remember much anymore. Somebody asked him one time, "John, what do you remember?" And he said, "I don't remember much, but I do remember two things. That Christ is a great Savior, and I am a great sinner." So if somebody feels like they're a great sinner, you're alongside of John Newton. But remember, Christ is a great Savior. He's a merciful, merciful Savior. Another thing about hope is that there is joy and comfort and peace that comes along with hope. Joy. Psalm 146, verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Proverbs 10:28, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Hope is the best medicine for the discouraged. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Somebody needs rest for their soul. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. So where are you resting? Are you resting in the hope of the Lord Jesus? The older I get, the more often I look for a place to sit down. All you young guys, you know, you won't understand this at all. But we were working here at the church yesterday, and I wasn't doing much. You know, the other guys were doing all the work. I was watching, but man, watching gets hard after a while. Standing there watching. Alex was up on a long ladder up there working on the projector. Nathan was up in the attic working. I was watching. I was getting so tired of watching. And pretty soon I had to find a place to sit down. I found a pew, of course. But after a while, that wasn't good enough. I decided, you know, I bet I could lay down on the pew, put my feet up on the end of it, and I'd be able to look up and watch what he's doing. Remember that, Alex? I was ready for my afternoon nap, I guess, you know. Did a little rest. And don't we need rest for our soul, too? Yeah. In the hubbub and turmoil of life, even when things are just going normal, we need rest for our soul. And along with hope will come rest for our soul. Then let's talk for a moment about the perseverance of hope. Somebody who really truly has hope in the Lord is not going to give up hope. So I'm going to encourage you, don't give hope no matter what comes. We don't honestly know where this whole thing is going to go. But no matter where it goes, don't give up hope. May your hope persevere to the end. Psalm 71, verse 14 says, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Zechariah 9:12 says, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. That's an interesting phrase. Prisoners of hope. A prisoner is somebody that can't escape. They're bound to it. They can't get away from it. Not that we'd want to get away from hope. But it's just there, and we're enclosed by this hope, and it just doesn't go away. We're prisoners of hope. Now, if you've got to be a prisoner, that's the kind of prisoner to be, amen? Prisoners of hope. So, I want you to just encourage each one of you to commit to hope in God today, no matter what the future holds. All the future is uncertain, sir, to be sure. But no matter what comes, decide today that you're going to continue to hope in God. And then our hope needs to be passed on to others. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, speaks about how we can pass on hope to the next generation, to our children. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but He would keep His commandments. I've been reading in the book of Judges. I just happen to think about this, and I'd like to read a verse, if I can find it real quick here. Chapter 2. This was, Joshua had grown old. He had led the people to victory in the land of Canaan. The tribes had been given their inheritance and dispersed to their inheritances. Joshua continued to age and get to be a very old man. He died when he was 110 years old. And then all that generation, the elders that helped rule with Joshua, also died. And another generation came on the scene. So we read in chapter 2, verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works He had done for Israel. That generation, Joshua's generation, was probably the greatest generation of all of Israel, except for one thing. They didn't pass it on to their kids. They failed in that. And so from then on, if we continue reading, the next generation went into idolatry and forsook the Lord God. So here the psalmist tells us that they're to make these things known to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Someday our children may face maybe even worse conditions than we're facing today. They may face real true persecution, like many nations today where Christians are facing not only the threat of not having church, but the threat of just being a Christian. And many today in some faraway lands are being martyred for their faith. We don't know what the future holds for our children. Things are certainly kind of uncertain. And we certainly don't want to put our hope in America, that it will continue on as it has been in freedom for many more generations. We don't know that that will be. We don't know what might befall our children. But one thing we can do for sure is we can teach them the blessings of God, the works of God, and teach them hope in God. Because they might need it. They might need it badly. And I'll guarantee you, sometime in their life, they're going to need hope. So, then one other point, and that is that for those who do not know Christ, there is an utter hopelessness. An utter hopelessness. There is no hope. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ. So Paul is speaking to these Ephesian Christians that had been saved, but talking about before they were saved, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, those three words are so sad. Having no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," speaking of Christians who have died, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Proverbs 14:32 says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." There's a huge difference between how a Christian dies and how an unsaved person dies. Did you know that? I've seen it. I've lived long enough to see it myself. I know what it feels like to feel like you're dying. I had a heart attack about 10 years ago, and I lay on the floor, and I thought that was it. And it was okay. I had utter peace in my heart because I knew I was going to heaven. I had hope. And it was a really kind of a blessed time as I lay. Yeah, I was in pain and all that. And there's all of the uncertainty and all this kind of stuff. But I had hope. I knew where I was going. And it was going to be good. My oldest brother and myself were by my father's bedside when he passed away back in 1995. He was 91 years old. He lived a life of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Dad had a massive stroke. He lay in the hospital, dying. And we watched the heart monitor as his pulse rate and his blood pressure slowly dropped, just little by little by little. He just went kind of slowly. He was unconscious, of course. My brother, who was also a godly man, and I, we shared some scripture together from the Psalms. And it was really a blessed time. It was a sweet time. As we realized that Dad was being ushered into heaven. The doctor came into the room partway through all that. Dr. Kirkpatrick, Christian man, good Christian man himself. And he came into the room and he said, "You know, I can't believe the difference between the atmosphere in this room and the atmosphere down the hall." He said, "There's a man dying down there, and the family members are there, and they're screaming and crying." He said, "It is pathetic. It's terrible. There's no hope. There's no hope." What a huge difference between those who are saved and those who are lost on the deathbed. Years ago, Bonnie and Dave Van Camp, they were in our church. They both contracted cancer. Bonnie had a kind of a bone cancer that just deteriorated her bones. They were just falling apart. She was a heavy lady, and she was in pain all the time. It was a miserable way to go. Her husband Dave was by her bedside at hospice It was just a few moments before she passed. Of course, they had her all drugged up and everything, and her complexion was real pale and gray. But then, all of a sudden, to Dave's surprise, she sat up in bed. And her complexion cleared up and her cheeks got rosy. And she said, "It's real! It's real!" And then she fell back and she was gone. You see the difference between how a Christian dies and how an unsaved person dies. For then, so unsaved, there is no hope in their death. I want to tell you something. We have hope to share with others. Our hope is in Jesus. So we have the answer for the hopeless. We need to be giving out this hope to the hopeless today, because there are a lot of people that are hopeless today. This may be one of the greatest opportunities that we'll have for a long time to share the gospel, because people's hearts are open and tender right now. Yeah, I know some people don't want to take a tract because it might have bugs on it, you know. But people are looking for answers. And Brother Kupiec was telling me on the phone that his neighbor, he didn't mind to do with religion or anything. But Brother Mark was able to lead him to Christ this week because his heart was tender and open, and he was hopeless. He didn't know what to do. And he led them to Christ. And they were going to come to church today, but they live a long ways away, I guess, quite a ways away, in Winlock, and didn't want to come that far, I guess. So that's why Brother Mark and his family left early today, because he had a Bible study scheduled with them for 1:00 today. So they're going to go do that. Praise the Lord. People are hungry right now. They're hopeless. They need answers. And bless God, we have the answers. And we need to share it with them. Well, in closing, let me just say this, that we need to, all of us, walk through this door of hope and become the prisoners of hope. No matter what comes, we need to keep hope. Lamentations 3:21-26 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Have I hope? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Hebrews 16:18-19 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Aren't you glad we have a God that won't lie to us? Amen. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. My desire today for all of us, whether we're meeting in this room or in the fellowship hall or out on the deck, or those who may be listening at another time on the internet, my hope is that all will go away with hope, with a hope that will persevere no matter what comes. I'm going to close with this illustration. In fact, I will tell you the name or the title of the message when I get done with the illustration, because this is really the title of the message. There was a painting that was painted. I tried to find a copy of it, and I was going to show it on the screen, but I couldn't find it. But there's a painting of an old man, looks like maybe a grandfather type, you know. He's standing alongside of a young boy. And in the background is a burned out cabin. There's nothing left. There's some charred remains and a chimney standing there by itself. And the old man is standing there, and the boy's standing there clutching a pair of old ragged blue jeans. And the boy's obviously crying. And the grandfather says to the boy, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." And that's the title of my message today for all of us. Hush, child, God ain't dead. No matter what comes, God ain't dead. Amen? And so let's remember that. No matter what comes, God ain't dead. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today. We thank you for the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. We don't have to wonder where we're going. If worse comes to worse on this earth and you take us home, that's okay. We know where we're going. We're going to be home with you, Lord. And in the meantime, whatever trials may come, whatever hardships we may need to suffer, help us, Lord, to keep our hope in you. Keep our hope strong. May it persevere no matter what comes. Help us not to have false hopes and hoping in things that have no substance, but help us to hope in you. Thank you, Lord, for today, for the opportunity to meet today and the blessing of being with your people. Bless the rest of the day and watch over us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Alex?